It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
My friends, we're getting close to the election. It's just weeks away, a rare election, where the choice couldn't possibly be more clear, and the information about each candidate couldn't possibly be more clear, even though one of the candidates is trying to shield it. We can look at the record of President Trump, who was already in office for 4 years, and compare it to Kamala Harris, who was also in office for 4 years, at least a few months shy of 4 years. Granted, she was the vice president, but a vice president that rubber stamped everything the administration did and went out of her way, she and Biden both, to say she was the last person in the room for decisions, decisions made by the absolute worst president in American history, the lying, mumbling, bumbling moron Joe Biden. And my assessment of his character and my assessment of his intellect has nothing to do with the fact that he seems to have dementia or some kind of mental illness. I don't blame anybody for their illness. But my friends, he was a politician with a record for some 50 years, long before he became mentally ill. And his crowning achievement? Joe Biden has come as close to destroying this country as one of our leaders possibly can. And Harris has a record of her own, not just the stuff she did in the White House, the stuff she said before she got to the White House. She can't run on her record because she, like most Democrat politicians, knows that her Marxist insane policies would be rejected. What are her true policies? That we have her on video, gleefully, boastfully, unashamedly talking about open borders, defunding the police, eliminating private health care, giving amnesty to illegal immigrants, kissing the butt of Iran, using tax dollars to pay for sex change operations of prisoners and illegal aliens. She can't run on that, so she acts a little more conservative and makes the vortex of her campaign that she's not Trump. She says Trump is a threat to democracy. She says Trump's going to use the military to arrest all of his opponents after he gets into office. How stupid do they think we are? He was already in office. When did he do any of that? But the Democrats are the ones who tried to get him off the ballot. That's a real threat to democracy. The Democrats are the ones saying that disinformation should be outlawed. And of course, they're the ones who will decide what disinformation is. Isn't that a threat to democracy? And what about other threats to democracy? They were all waged against Trump. We're all aware of the lawfare, the indictments, the trials. Some of those at the moment have either been halted temporarily or stopped completely, but there were four of them going on simultaneously during an election year. The one in New York, one of the ones that found him guilty, had to do with a business entry regarding Stormy Daniels, and they were unable to ever name a coherent charge. The judge gave the jury some multiple choice charges in his jury directions and said that as long as they came together and agreed that he was guilty of some of them, even if not all, they could find him guilty. Basically, the instructions were declare him guilty of something and then fill in the blank. Trump's opponents also complain about his name calling and how divisive he is, but they constantly refer to him as Hitler. And they take no responsibility that such speech can inspire sicko psychopaths who want to go down in history as taking out Hitler. This is probably the best explanation for the assassination attempts on Trump's life. It also explains how people can cheat in elections and justify it. Well, I'm just trying to stop Hitler. Wouldn't you have stopped Hitler if you could? Of course, this party that calls Trump Hitler is becoming the party of anti-Semitism and infanticide. Gee, who does that remind us of? seems to ring a bell. Meanwhile, as they currently deny their election fraud, the day will come when they'll admit it, brag about it, and revel in it. Just you watch. Recently, there was a proposal in Congress to make it against the law to vote in an election without proving citizenship. The Democrats voted it down. Now think. You're all intelligent people. Just think for a moment. Why? What possible reason could they have if they aren't interested in winning by breaking the rules? And on that note, in Virginia and Alabama, they already found a bunch of uncertified non-citizens on the election rolls. They're trying to remove them. The Biden Justice Department is suing them so that they can't remove them. Despite all this, Donald Trump keeps rising like a phoenix out of the ashes. His enemies do not plan to allow this. No matter how the election goes, they do not plan to allow this. Why? Why is he such a threat to the left? Why is he such a threat even to some of the mainstream Republicans, Rhino Republicans, so-called moderates? What I'm asking is, why is he a threat to the Washington machine, the deep state? They all know that what they say about him is a pack of lies. That goes for politicians as well as celebrities. Before he ran for president as a Republican, they loved him. He was on The View. They were hugging him. They were kissing him. Hillary Clinton invited Trump to her daughter's wedding. So what changed? Why did they turn against him? Well, my friends, that's the question I'm going to answer today. I am going to review the rapport between Trump and his adversaries. Now, you're going to hear a lot of things you've heard from me on previous radio shows, but it's an important reminder, an important review. This is Trump's third election. I'm going to recap the first two and the aftermath of each and the prequel of each. I'm going to review the 2020 election, the 2016 election, and the period of time leading up to 2016. You should be concerned that this happened in the United States of America. Whether or not you voted for Trump, whether or not you love Trump, hate Trump, you should care that this happened to a duly elected president. Aside from finding yourself concerned, you will also gain clarity over exactly what is happening right now. Now, everything I'm about to say has been documented, everything in this review of 2016 to 2020. It will not sound that way. It will sound outrageous. There's a reason for that. It is outrageous. However, my friend, consider this. Something can be outrageous and still be true. Outrageous and true are not mutually exclusive words. What I'm about to say will sound like a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. It's all been proven. That removes the theory part of the phrase, leaving us with the word conspiracy. Yes, there was a conspiracy that involved the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Hillary Clinton State Department previous, the Obama Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, many Democrats in office, many Rhino Republicans in office, traitors in Trump's own cabinet. I know how it sounds. Again, it's all been documented, proven. Frankly, doing your own research might just be the most enlightening education you've ever had in your life about what's been happening in our country, whose republic is fast fading, whose republic is fast becoming the tyranny of autocratic rule from governors and oligarchy from judges. It's difficult to find these facts in the mainstream media because they're in on it. They try to cover it up. It's even difficult these days to find it on social media. Depends on the social media. Forget the popular ones. Facebook will bore you to death with stories about their so-called fact checkers who don't get fact checked themselves. YouTube will take it down faster than a jackrabbit on catnip. And there's too much information these days, nevertheless, that is available over the internet. So they can't sit on everything. Google settings notwithstanding. I will point you the right direction, at least. I'll tell you some of the people you should follow. Investigative reporters such as Sarah Carter, John Solomon, organizations like Judicial Watch, which has forced the FBI and the Justice Department to come forth with documents. And thanks to them, and thanks later to some of Trump's executive orders, we have text messages, we have emails, we have notes scribbled, we have all kinds of stuff. It's there if you want to really find out, if you want to really go out and look at it. But with that in mind, with that as what I would call my verification, I'm going to just tell you what's happening and then you find out for yourself. Put me to the test. And now, my friends, listen carefully. I'm going to give you the straight dope about Donald Trump. If Donald Trump was seen eating a salad with Russian dressing, they'd say he colluded with Russia. It's getting old. It's been old for quite some time. But they keep spewing this drivel in the hopes that you'll keep falling for it. So where did this begin? Actually, we have to go back, way back to the time of the Obama administration, made worse by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her handling of Benghazi, the actual lies they told about what started the riot and many other things. That's where this begins. It continues with the fact that Hillary Clinton, in an effort to cover her own tracks over who knows how many other things during her time in that position, switched her correspondence as Secretary of State from an official to a personal email account. This was discovered, but the FBI, under the authority of Obama's Justice Department, only went through the appearance of a genuine investigation. They covered her tracks, knowing full well how guilty she was, a guilt that included her own obstruction of justice, smashed BlackBerry, not turning over all of her emails. Meanwhile, moving on, candidate Hillary, no longer serving as secretary, colludes with Russia. She and her campaign, or her campaign and her name, collude with Russia to put out dope about a Trump scandal, which would hopefully smear Trump's name even more than the media was trying to smear it and win her the election for sure. Yes, the very thing Trump was accused of, she did. The FBI knew about this, but Donald Trump was not expected to win the election. So the discovery of their corruption and all kinds of other corrupt things going on, incidentally, was not worrisome to anybody because things were not going to change hands. Trump was just a big talking blowhard after all. And who could stand up to the Clinton machine? Bernie sure didn't. She had this one in the bag. But it didn't turn out that way. When Trump had his surprise victory in 2016, a surprise to the deep state, a surprise to the mainstream media, not a surprise to anyone watching this grassroots movement grow with unprecedented enthusiasm and attendance at his rallies, when he had this surprise victory, panic ensued. Circle the wagon! Trump won! Everything under the sun that people could think of to delegitimize this election, they tried. It began with, well, Hillary truly won because she won the popular vote. Meanwhile, others were trying to persuade the electors from the Electoral College to ignore the individual state popular vote and instead vote their conscience. They reminded us that our wise forefathers put the Electoral College in place to avoid stupid mob decisions and dangerous men from getting into the White House. Yes, they were talking out of both sides of their mouths. On one hand, Hillary truly won, and the Electoral College should be ignored. However, if the electors themselves wanted to ignore their state population votes and just remove Trump, well, this fits in with our fine, well-established, time-honored, constitutional Electoral College. Well, none of that worked. Trump got elected by the Electoral College anyway. The next thing was to immediately call for his impeachment. Yes, that started right away before he had done one thing as president. Before Trump was even inaugurated, House Democrats, including Representatives John Lewis of Georgia and Jerry Nadler of New York, declared Trump, quote unquote, an illegitimate president. Then in January, minutes after President Trump was sworn in, The Washington Post reported that the Democrats' campaign to impeach President Trump has begun. About 70 House Democrats boycotted Trump's inauguration. In August 2017, Representative Maxine Waters of California impressed several of the objective hosts on ABC's The View, making it clear in no uncertain terms that she was not running for anything except the impeachment of Trump. In 2018, when Representative Rashida Tlaib was giving her acceptance speech, now we're moving farther ahead in the year, she says, we're going to go in there and we're going to impeach the mother effer. So that's the little bit of the history of where the impeachment idea comes from. But let's back up again to right after he gets into office. The worry now in the deep state after he gets in is several things, several that we know of. Who knows how many more? You know the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. This is probably just the tip of a huge iceberg. Anyway, the reasons Hillary was not charged with corruption of justice over the email scandal, that's one of the things they're trying to cover up, and the fact that the FBI and CIA knew about her campaign collusion with Russia, that's something they're trying to cover up. This is going to be discovered now with Trump in office. They had to move quickly. First, they take out General Flynn because Trump just appointed him. He's going to get in there. He's going to find out what's going on. So they drum up allegations about his son. They threaten his son with jail if he doesn't confess to things. Then stuff was leaked to the press charging Trump with collusion. Not trusting James Comey's role, Trump fires him. Then there's talk about a special prosecutor to investigate Trump, both for Russia collusion and now for obstruction of justice for having fired Comey. Trump's new attorney general, Jeff Sessions, meanwhile, is pressured to recuse himself because he worked on the Trump campaign. Rosenstein, who then takes over, puts together a team. A Trump-hating team of mostly Democrats. Well, he appoints a special prosecutor who puts together a team, supposedly. Trump-hating team, mostly Democrats, Hillary Clinton supporters, put together and led by rhino anti-Trump Republican named Robert Mueller. But because he's a Republican, we're supposed to fall out of our chairs and look at the bipartisanship. It was nothing but a Trump-hating team with a mustache. Well, the Mueller investigation goes on for what seems like an eternity, but it finally ends and it finds nothing. Months later, after the Mueller report failed to find any collusion, Representative Al Green says, I'm concerned if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. If we don't impeach him, he will say he's been vindicated. Well, that actually turned out to be one of the more honest comments from Democrats. But perhaps the most revealing words were Representative Adam Schiff's plea about the future before the U.S. Senate. He said, and I quote, we are here today to consider a much more grave matter, and that is an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election. He's talking now about the 2020 election coming up, to cheat in an election for precisely this reason. The president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won. My friends, putting aside the fact that the same Democrats who always express concern about election fraud are also against voter ID, are you catching the two big takeaways here? First, Trump needs to be impeached over what he might do in the future. And second, for this reason, you and I cannot be counted on to settle this with an actual fair election. No, Congress needs to decide the next election for us by first removing Trump. We're too stupid to be trusted. So instead, these elitist, arrogant narcissists are going to make the decision for us. Make no mistake. The crusade against President Trump has offered nothing but thought crimes from thought police. We have heard about what he might have been thinking, what he might have done, even if he chose not to do it, or what he might do in the future. What we haven't been hearing are crimes supported by facts. And what was Trump doing? What was the thing they finally pulled out of the bag to impeach him over? He was talking to the president of Ukraine, asking that Joe Biden be investigated for something Joe Biden bragged about on TV. And since then, it's been absolutely proven. Hunter's own laptop was discovered, but it turns out that the FBI already had that and knew about it. Wow. Trump was going through the impeachment hearings. Of course, impeachment is not removal from office. Trump was not removed from office. The Senate voted it down. Barely. Right around the same time, China deliberately releases a deadly virus. Now, we can argue about whether it was made in the lab deliberately or made in the lab accidentally. But we do know that China was aware of how lethal it was when they locked down the city of Wuhan, but allowed Chinese citizens from the rest of China already infected to travel all over the world. Trump had been hard on China over trade issues. Many of America's Democrats and Republicans alike, along with big big tech and Wall Street wanted things in China to continue as they had before Trump threw a monkey wrench in their works, all the while bringing home jobs for the working class. China also understands that the mainstream media will believe anything said about Trump, that the Democrats would try to impeach him again for anything, even if all they found out was that when he was in grade school, he bullied a kid in the sandbox. Could China have been literally working with someone on this side of the ocean over this? It's hard to believe they weren't. We know that in other contexts and for other reasons, Joe Biden was on the take, but we don't even have to go there. Even if China had talked to no one, extremely unlikely. But let's say they just knew their sympathizers would seize upon this as but one more thing to blame on Trump. So the virus comes. Trump is getting no credit for shutting down travel with China. They issue guidelines. The Democrat states put teeth in the guidelines. Mandatory shutdowns essentially destroy the middle class businesses related to restaurant, travel, entertainment, and some others. They also shut down dentists, and in many cases, essential medical treatment is denied people because COVID is the priority. Trump comes up with a stimulus package to help over what was intended to be just 15 days. 8 months later, in dire need of more stimulus, Nancy Pelosi holds it up so that the same people who tried to shame Trump out of permanently reopening the economy can now blame him for tanking the economy right before the election. Of course, the economy bounced back anyway. But right around the time when it first started rebounding, philanthropists like George Soros and agitating groups like Antifa decided to exploit a case of alleged police brutality and racism. Major cities across the country went into anarchy mode. The same governors and mayors who were locking us down, claiming that they were doing so only to protect our health, were ordering the police to stand down, working with legislators to defund the police, refusing to arrest people who were not only refusing to socially distance, but who were looting stores, shooting police, pulling people out of their cars, beating them up, burning down buildings, burning down business. African Americans in the inner city suffered more than anybody. They don't want to see the police defunded. That's something politicians and Hollywood elitists call for from behind the walls of the mansions and personal paid-for security. Mainstream media ignores protests or calls them peaceful or occasionally blames a violent one on Trump, who in most cases was not allowed by governors to bring in the feds. Despite this, Donald Trump gets a higher approval rating from the Black and Hispanic communities than any recent Republican president. The Blexit movement flees from the Democrats and runs to Trump. This is what they tried to do to Trump for 4 years. And he survived, probably because God had his hand on him. What else could the Democrats do? Well, they had one more card to play. And we've seen so many things. We've seen already the results of judicial tyranny. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court changed the rules of the Pennsylvania legislature. This is not allowed by law. Only the legislature can change their own election laws. They were allowed, however, by the justices to accept votes after Election Day. They were told the signatures didn't have to match. Concerning some of the action we've seen at the election polls themselves, on Tuesday night, when Trump was ahead in many battleground blue states and way ahead in some cases, some of which he had already flipped in 2016, states that you got to know the Democrats were really watching, really concerned about, they suddenly, mysteriously stopped counting while Trump was ahead. Now, it's one thing for them to say, we're going to keep counting the votes all night. We can't announce it till tomorrow. But they suddenly stop counting. And the next morning, shazam, jumping Jiminy, the mailed-in votes tally starts coming in like gangbusters. And they favor Biden for the most part. Oh, who would have figured? In some cases, new boxes are discovered. Boxes and boxes of new votes found. One cluster of new votes added up to 23,000, all for Biden. All for Biden. None for Trump. They were so arrogant, they didn't even throw in a few extra Trump ones. This is amazing. It's also statistically impossible. 23,000. All for Biden, all found in the same place. In other cases, the amount of supposed voters outnumber the amount of people registered. In other cases, people would have had to rise from the dead because they were dead, but they were voting anyway. People who moved out of state managed to go back to their former home, supposedly, and vote from their previous addresses. And all kinds of other stuff is going on in various polling locations. A USPS postal worker admitted to Project Veritas that he was ordered to destroy Trump ballots. Cardboard was put up on the windows in places to keep people who were official poll watchers from actually watching. In some places, after pressure, concessions were made for the barriers to be removed, but still the poll watchers had to stand 6 feet back only because of social distancing. How exactly does someone observe if a signature is being accurately compared from 6 feet away? Well, maybe if Superman was there with his telescope vision. Moving on, Sharpie pens were given to Republicans and not Democrats in some places. The machines were unable to read these Sharpie pens. This is something that they warn us about, Sharpie pens. People these days can go online to check to see if their vote went through. Some of the people who asked for pens other than Sharpies and weren't given them looked and it saw that their votes had been rejected by the machines. A Nevada voter says her vote was stolen. She showed up in person to vote, found that someone had taken her mailed out ballot and voted. When she showed up at the poll, they told her she had already voted. She said, no, here's my ID. I didn't vote. Didn't matter to them. Now you can say this is all anecdotal. That's the word people always bring up. Anecdotal. Well, there's anecdotal going on all over the country. There's anecdotal on steroids, but okay. Anecdotal, what wasn't anecdotal was the decision on the part of governors like Newsom and other Democratic governors around the country to use COVID as an excuse to send out ballots to people who didn't ask for them. And then we have the ballot harvesting, people who come and help you fill out your ballot or will drop your ballot off for you. It's ripe with the idea of election fraud. Trump tried to warn us this would happen. He was laughed at by the mainstream media. Well, what else is new? And so, my friends, here's my question to you. Let's add this up. Knowing how easily this could be used, is there reason to believe that the same deep state and democratic socialist apparatus with high-tech alliance connected to China, which tried so desperately over the last 4 years to stop Donald Trump, could they possibly, after all their fraud, be involved in massive fraud right now? Well, let's review. Trump gets elected. Red alert. Call it for Hillary because she won the popular vote, or try to talk the electors out of casting their votes for those who still believe in the Electoral College. Call for his impeachment before he even steps into office. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Impeachment in search of a crime, or hey, here's something. Frame him for the very collusion, the very Russian collusion that Hillary was guilty of. Oh no, whoa, Mueller investigation failed. Start the impeachment anyway, pick anything. A phone call to the Ukraine will do. Oh no, impeachment failed. Release the virus. Oh no, economy is still recovering thanks to Trump. Release the agitators to burn down our cities. Oh no, Trump is still popular with minorities and economy is bouncing back. No more time to run out the clock. The election is right around the corner. Make very sure this guy does not get reelected despite all our failed attempts. Make very sure we couldn't take him out the first time. We were taken by surprise the first time. We won't be taken by surprise the second time. We won't stand for it the second time. We won't allow it the second time. This guy could win. That's finally gotten through our deep skulls. This guy probably will win. So prepare the mail-in balloting and use that to metastasize votes faster than Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. That is our last wild card to play. Of course, January 6th and the events that took place when some of the Trump supporters, very few of them compared to the estimated million that may have been there, broke into the Capitol building. There are all kinds of lies about this, claiming that Trump stirred it up, that Trump ordered it, that Trump wanted it. But we have him on video telling them to march peacefully. He ahead of time offered the National Guard in case things got out of hand. That was turned down by Nancy Pelosi. That was turned down by the mayor of Washington, D.C. Why? Well, the reason is obvious. They wanted the optics of Trump looking like an insurrectionist. And he was impeached over that. So he's the only president in history to be impeached twice, although not convicted either time. And so Here we are again, on the eve of another election. Will the Democrats succeed in stealing it again? Nobody knows. I know they are going to try. Oh, I know that. And if they fail, if Trump wins, if there's such an overwhelming mountain of votes that even the attempt of cheating doesn't work, they will insist that he cheated. All their talk about how horrible it is to be an election denier will be out of the window faster than you can blink. You have to understand the rules. When Republicans contest elections, they're election deniers and insurrectionists. When Democrats contest election results, they're saving democracy. If Trump wins, I believe the Democrats in the Congress will refuse to certify the election on January 6. They'll say they can't in good conscience certify a convicted felon. Will they pull that off? Will they succeed? I don't know, but you're going to at least hear some of them talk about it. My friends, we are in for some interesting times ahead. But God is still on his throne, and this is still Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric. Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, good evening, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a busy, busy month for me because this is our second time with Russell in our lives with Halloween festivities.
Oh, what a blessing. How fun that must be.
I know.
Dress up your kid. What's he going to be for Halloween?
He's going to be an astronaut this year.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
And then we're going to be aliens that he captured.
Is he old enough to understand us? Astronauts?
I don't know for sure. All I know is now.
Well, the good thing now is you can put everything on video.
It's
true. You know, back in the 60s, only a real rich person had a movie camera and projector, but now you just take out your phone and all these times that he won't remember, he can at least relive something.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Down the line for sure. And I will also mention that Shelley and I are going to be aliens that he captured. That's number one. And then number two.
Wait, aliens from?
Outer space. He captured us.
Oh, and so we're like his prisoners, from any basically. Particular movie or
no,
it's
no,
just kind of generic? Aliens.
Yeah. And then, oh, now he's moving around everywhere because he's running now this time. Last year, we had to hold him everywhere because he was only a month old. Now I'm lucky enough.
Isn't it fascinating when you watch toddlers and you see from when they were babies and they learn how to walk, you realize the most difficult things we ever had to do in our lives were done at that time.
Yes.
Being an adult is easy compared to what these people need to learn how to do.
Unfortunately, the government makes it a little bit difficult and complicated sometimes as we become adults.
Well, yeah, they make life pretty stressful. And annoying for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, along the lines of that, Mike Friedenberg is coming on to your show next week.
Yes, and the first time Trump ran, he came on the air and predicted a Trump win.
Yes.
And one of my listeners wrote me and said that he thought Mike was crazy when he said that. Mike was one of the few people in the country calling it for Trump. He called it for Trump the second time as well. And I remember saying myself, pending that they don't cheat, I was very worried about them cheating. Mike was concerned about it too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as you know, Mike and I both believe that Trump actually won that election too, but they cheated and took it away from him.
But
Mike's a little less concerned about the cheating this time. He's more optimistic. He thinks the Republicans are going to be much more careful, but there's so many shenanigans already going on. I'm very concerned.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm glad that we're taking provisions for this kind of situation to happen. Again, the QR codes, for example, the hand counting in Georgia. Those are just a few of the examples.
But have you heard about how the Justice Department's trying to interrupt some of that?
No, I heard. Yeah, the DOJ is suing a few states, like Virginia, for example.
Virginia and Alabama, because they're finding illegal citizens who've admitted to it. And they're going, oh, well, you don't really know that. You could be disenfranchised. It's just, what possible reason could they have for doing this if they're not trying to fix the
ID
election?
They've ID checking since 2008 in Virginia. It's ridiculous. And
it was put into law by a Democratic governor in Virginia, too.
Not to mention, where those illegal immigrant votes, they never happened in those states specifically. It was more in the southern states specifically, especially here in California is another example. But
one thing's for sure, whoever wins, it's going to be decided by the courts. It will not be over on election.
Yeah.
I think Trump's going to win by a landslide, but I don't think the Democrats are going to admit that he won.
I agree.
They do nothing but deny elections, but then when Republicans would do it, well, I won't get into my monologue all over again. But I think we all get the point.
Yes, exactly. So I thought tonight, since Mike's going to handle the political side next week, and as always does a great, great job on that stuff, I wanted to focus on the holiday season that we're in right now, which is the Halloween season. By the way, for those who are looking for like really cool Halloween decorations, out in Santee, California, right next to Hill Creek Elementary School, there's a neighborhood there that is full of Halloween decorated stuff. Like in Santee, there's this other neighborhood called Starlight Circle. That is a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood to go down during the Christmas season. It is packed, but it's full of great decorations everywhere from left to right. I would highly suggest people look at that during the Christmas season, but during the Halloween season, go to the neighborhood that's across the street over Santana High School there. That is some really, really cool decorations.
Okay, and also
side.
Dana and I went there today at Parkway Plaza. They have one of those temporary stores that springs up in the area that used to be Macy's.
The pumpkin patches?
Yeah, it's a Halloween store and they just wall-to-wall costumes. Plus they have a little Halloween carnival you could walk through. Now Dana's not much into Halloween, but she runs a school, an academy over at Skyline. It's really a ministry technically.
Okay.
And they don't want to emphasize Halloween, but she is going to to have people dress up as a character from their favorite book
or
novel on Halloween.
Yeah.
And she wants to wear the armor of God that Paul talked about in Ephesians, which was based on Roman armor. So she was there with me today looking for armor, and it was quite a trip. We're not huge on Halloween. I told you last week, as a kid, I just loved it. And as an adult, I'm so much into Christmas, I'm always just anxious for Halloween to be over and for the Christmas decorations to go up.
If I do the costume for your wife, I've had to find the Very Hungry Caterpillar costume somewhere. I can't seem to find that anywhere. I'm just joking. No, and
that is a very popular children's book. Yes.
So I think we'll start with music, I'm going to say, because it's very few and far between, I feel like, for Halloween music. Like, a lot of people will.
Well, there's the Monster Mash. That big hit on the re.
And I swear to you,
you played that for Jim Barrier once, didn't you? As a stump Jim Barrier.
I swear, I really thought that was Boris Karloff singing the song the entire time. But no, it's just a guy doing
trying to do a Karloff impersonation.
He did a fantastic job. I couldn't tell.
It's like that jazzed up version of White Christmas that came out in the 60s, where the guy, I think, made himself sound like Bing Crosby, but then he did a more jazzed up version. It's the version they played in Home Alone and the Santa Claus
one. I always thought that was Bing. Wow.
No, it wasn't. But you know which song I'm talking about.
Yes, exactly.
He sounds like Bing Crosby, doesn't he?
Wow, that's very impressive. I mean, another big one, I think, is Ghostbusters. That's a very, very classic Halloween
I loved
song,
that too. Movie. I'm not into the occult. As a Christian, I warn people to stay away from the occult. But since that's fiction, I didn't have a problem just viewing it as science fiction. And that movie was just hilarious. It wouldn't have been as much without Bill Murray, but it was just a brilliantly hilarious movie.
I don't know. Bill Murray added some parts of it. I think that it was a huge vehicle for Dan Aykroyd, for sure.
Oh, he was. Yeah, I'm not saying the others weren't also good, but I still think Bill Murray was the best in there.
Okay, fair enough. I also, Ernie Hudson, whenever he's in a movie, just makes me smile.
Well, and a young Annie Potts, who's now, well, that's off the air now, but the grandmother on Young Sheldon, just a hilarious actor, and she was the young receptionist, Ghostbusters. So she was great.
Yeah. There's another song, Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. That one's
That one's not ringing a bell.
That was a huge hit in the 80s, and then the chorus was done by Michael Jackson. So the interesting thing was Motown, the record company, that was the record label's son that sang that song first, and he couldn't sing for anything. He could just rap, but he couldn't sing.
I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan. Anything he does will remind me of Halloween.
Yeah, so he stepped in and he provided the chorus, and that's honestly the best part, because his verses are so cheesy, like, I'm wondering who's watching me now, the IRS? That's so hilarious.
Well, we can all relate to that.
How did you feel about the Nightmare Before Christmas series?
Or
at least the movie itself.
Yeah, I like Tim Burton, and I thought it was a pretty interesting, extremely original movie. Is it a series now? I'm only familiar with
the movie. It's a one thing. I know there's other things, like there's a video game. Okay,
I wouldn't say I loved the movie. I liked it. I thought it was very creative. I'm usually liking anything that comes out by Tim Burton. He's very quirky, very original. Let me tell you what my problem is with The Nightmare Before Christmas, though, is when Disney, one of my favorite rides is Disney, was the Haunted Mansion. And when they, between their Halloween and Christmas season, which is several months at Disneyland, changed that ride for that season to put in that stupid Jack Pumpkinhead Nightmare Before Christmas version of the Haunted Mansion, I can't stand that. And that made me hate the movie. Aww. But actually, originally, I had liked the movie. So that's my problem with the Nightmare Before.
So because of one ride, it makes you
It just kind of spoiled it. Well, it's kind of like the movie Titanic. When I first saw it, I liked it. Then when I started hearing, as the months went on, that some junior high girls had seen it 40 times, I started comparing it to its hype, and it did not live up to its hype at all, and my appreciation for the movie started going downhill. Now, that's not the fault of the movie. I fully admit that. Mm-hmm. And I did think it was a good movie. I didn't think it deserved 11 Academy Awards.
Yes, I agree.
Forrest Gump, everybody kept telling me, this is the best movie you're ever going to see in your life. I hated it.
I'm
one of the two people in the country that hated it. I probably would have hated it anyway, but the fact that people told me I was going to see the best movie I've ever seen, that didn't help.
That's a little overhyped. Is it a great movie? I think so, but is it the best movie ever made? It's not in my top 10.
I do think Tom Hanks is a good actor.
Absolutely.
But I
thought the writing was actually
every historical thing that happened from the 60s to present day, Forrest Gump was a part. And then one day when he just decided to start jogging across the country for no reason whatsoever, it's just,
but that's the quirkiness of the character, in my my opinion. Yeah. So, but I will.
I'm a nonconformist. I know the rest of the country loves that movie.
I view Nightmare Before Christmas more of a Christmas film for me personally than Halloween. It takes place in there, but he's more jealous of the fact that the Christmas season gets more attention.
Yeah, you could call it either Halloween or a Christmas movie.
I know.
Do you like it?
I do like it. And I actually want to say the best part of the movie to me is the music itself. It's very memorable.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember his name that did the music for it specifically. He was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo back then too. I can't remember his name now. But he did a very, very good job on the music. A lot of memorable songs, just like, what's this? They're magic in the air. Yeah.
I'll give the movie itself a B, but I'll give an F to the ride they made out of it. Only because they took a great ride and ruined it. And then they make it the regular ride the rest of the year, and then they come down. They're doing something with the Haunted Mansion. It's being reconstructed or going away completely. I don't know what they're doing with it now, but it's probably going to be either completely changed or non-existent.
I heard they're just changing it.
Just changing it again?
Yeah. By the way, Danny Elfman is who I was thinking of. Oh, Danny Elfman.
Okay.
Some other songs, I actually think some like soundtrack stuff is really good, like the Halloween Michael Myers sound is really, really cool. I think it's very spooky and adds to the atmosphere. The movie itself, controversy here, I hated it. I really, really hate it.
You're talking about the horror movie?
Yeah, Halloween, the horror movie, yeah.
The one that starred Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, yes.
I did finally, years later on television, get to see the first one. I never watched any of the others.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis is one of those.
She's a good actress.
She was good, and then she has this, like, middle portion where I just couldn't stand her in anything.
She works well in a comedy, dude. Did you ever see her with Schwarzenegger in True Lies?
In True Lies.
See, the only movies of Schwarzenegger that I like are the comedies, because in the comedies, he's not taking himself seriously.
So
True Lies was hilarious.
Would you put Total Recall in that category? Or
I think they were trying to be serious.
I know they were. But I view it more as a comedy, but it's still a good social commentary.
But you know what the best line was in True Lies? When they had Schwarzenegger tied up and they were getting out, I think it was truth serum that they were going to stick in his arm. Before they hit him, he was, you should sterilize that, you know, so that I don't get infected. I just lost it when he said that.
Well, one of my favorite parts is when, and apparently this was real, Jamie Lee Curtis like accidentally tripped in like a bedroom scene and she hit her head right on
the bed. They kept it?
And they kept it in the movie. I didn't realize, like, I thought that was part of the script.
You know, a similar story with, you know, in Indiana Jones, the first one, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the guy comes at him with the knives and then he just shoots him. Like, what do I have to have a knife fight for? Why don't I just shoot him? It was a hilarious scene. Apparently, he was supposed to have some kind of knife fight with him, and Harrison Ford just did that as a gag while they were filming it, and they thought it was hilarious, and they just kept it in the movie. Now, whether that's legendary or true, that's what I heard. I suppose that might be one of those Hollywood legends that developed.
Well, listeners, if you have any more songs to suggest, I mean, I've only done a few there. Like, I almost forgot to say, I Put a Spell on You. It's a great, great Halloween song, too.
Probably some of these, if I heard them, I'd recognize them. Yeah. But they're not, the titles are not ringing a bell with me.
So definitely suggest those for sure. If you have any suggestions, email Bob and we'll pass it on.
Well, and last week I told you that Alien was the scariest movie I ever saw. Since we're talking about Halloween, Brendan, what was the scariest movie you ever saw?
Oh, that's a great question. Growing up, I hated Child's Play because I thought dolls were always creepy, and to make a movie about an actual creepy, like the Twilight Zone episode.
The Talking Tina.
The Living Doll.
The Talking Tina episode of Twilight Zone.
Great episode by itself.
But it kind of creeped you out.
It creeped me out beyond belief.
My name is Talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you.
But now that I watch it again, it's less scary for me now because I've grown away from that kind of stuff now. But it still is something that always runs in my head.
Yeah.
Very quickly, some TV specials. Obviously, I got to talk about the Charlie Brown TV special.
It's A Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Well, those were all classics. Yeah. I liked The Great Pumpkin,
my
Charlie Brown.
My favorite scene still is, I got chocolate. I got caramel.
I got a rock.
And it was at every
house. And Linus, every year the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch to the most sincere.
I love it. It's a really, really good special.
That was the third one they did. The first one was Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown's All-Stars was the second. Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown was the third.
What was Charlie Brown All-Stars? I don't remember that
one. It was between them. It came out, I think it
came
out
about... Was that a baseball
one? It was about baseball, yeah. Also, have you ever seen the Off-Broadway musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown?
I've seen the movie, but not the...
The movie was very edited and animated. Okay. It's wonderful. My son was in a version of it. If you ever get a chance, or even just get the soundtrack's just brilliant. It's a great show.
I always love the soundtrack to Charlie Brown. Honestly, Vince Guaraldi.
Oh, yeah.
Is how you pronounce his name? Yeah, like an actual composer that just is so so timeless.
Oh, honestly. And the story behind that special, because CBS hated it. They thought it was going to bomb, and it just went through the roof. They didn't think it worked.
Was it the pumpkin one you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the original one, Charlie Brown Christmas, because if that hadn't been made. Oh, and then after that, they gave Schultz his ticket. He could do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't blame him. So another one I want to suggest, Halloween is Grinch Night, which is a prequel to How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Now, I heard about that. That was more recent that came out, wasn't it?
That came out in 1977, but it was re-released in 1992.
I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah. So obviously, Boris Karloff was the original narrator. Yeah. This time,
did Dr. Seuss have anything to do with the project?
It said he wrote the actual screenplay to the actual
was it ever made into a Dr. Seuss book? I don't recall.
No, it was never released as a book.
It was interesting because people don't always realize this. The Who's in Whoville had been used before in the book Horton Hears a Who.
Uh-huh.
So the Who's have been used more than once by Dr. Seuss.
So they're part of the same universe.
They're part of the same Dr. Seuss universe, yes.
So this time around, we have Hans Conried, I think is how you pronounce his name. You would know him as Captain Hook from the Disney Peter Pan.
Oh, the voice of Captain Hook. Okay.
Yeah, so he plays the narrator / Grinch in this one. They still have Thurl Ravenscroft as the singer of all the songs in the Halloween special.
The same guy that did Tony the Tiger.
Exactly.
Sugar Frosted Flakes, digger. And did you know that he did not get credited when they first released that? His name was never in the credits, and Dr. Seuss felt horrible about it and put out an ad in the trade papers giving him credit.
Yeah.
You'd think after all these years, with all we can do with computer graphics, they could slip it into the credits now, but you still don't see it in there.
No.
And it's the best part of it. That song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, it's the best part
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. And the songs here were actually written by the same guy who did the Sesame Street theme song, Joe Raposo.
Yes, I've seen that guy. He's a fun...
He does the music in this one. Still catchy. And one of my favorite ones is like there's a nightmare song in there. It's so catchy. Once you get it in your head and you hear it, you're going to see it all Halloween.
In the Halloween version. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there's a lot of other TV specials.
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time. I'm not going to be able to shout out some more, but once again, if you do want to shout out some more and you want to share
Us an email or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
questions@bobsiegel.net and all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Since I do have at least like one more minute, I grew up with this book and this TV special at the same time. It was called Scary Godmother. She is like, this was a cartoon late in the early 2000s that was made. And she would go to little kids who were at their most scared and showing that monsters aren't scary at all and stuff like that. So that kind of...
So she's the unscary godmother.
She's the unscary
godmother. So why does she call herself Scary Godmother?
Because she lives in the scary world.
Scary world, okay.
Yeah, so, but it's a very, very cute film. I'll eventually show it to my son at some point, but I would highly suggest if you have kids out there to go seek that one out too.
Do I have time to talk about one quick costume I did or do I not?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. I loved the Batman comics when I was a kid, and I hated the Batman TV show. The Batman movies, they're great. The Batman TV show was campy and lame. Anyway, before the Batman TV show came out, 1 year before, I wanted to be Batman for Halloween. I was in the fifth grade, so my mother made me a homemade Batman costume. Nobody understood who the heck I was. The next year, everybody's Batman was store-bought Batman costumes because the Batman TV series.
So they had the Adam West version.
They had the Adam West version of Batman. So that's my Batman Halloween costume story.
Well, thank you so much, Pop, for letting
me
share
this. Brendan, it's always a pleasure having you on. Yeah.